Welcome to the Valhalla Parish Sermon Podcast, coming to you from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territories of several First Nations where the Kootenai and Columbia Rivers meet.
Glory to God, glory to God in the highest.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. And then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward in heaven is great. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what the ancestors did to the false prophets." The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Our readings today are a little bit heavy in some ways, aren't they? And I mean, so is our world in this time, I think. There's a lot that's concerning to me and perhaps to you as well. And yet I want to think about these things in light of the psalm and that call to root ourselves deeply in the living waters of God. So when you think about Jesus, I wonder how you think about him. What words do you use to describe him? And not just him, but your relationship. These are the kinds of questions that I've been reflecting on this week, on the ways in which that relationship has changed for me over the years. About how in childhood, Jesus seemed like a superhero with magical powers. Able to walk on water and calm the storms, able to raise the dead. I loved the stories of the miracles because they were just so amazing. As I grew older in my teenage years, it was important to me that Jesus was a friend and a good one at that. He and his friends traveled the countryside and they did things together. They had adventures together. They had joys and sorrows, to be sure, but they stuck together through it all, even to the end and beyond. As I left home and emerged into the wider world and started to see the pain and suffering experienced by so many, I leaned on Jesus, the healer. The one who, like the Good Samaritan, went out of his way to bandage the wounds of those who were sick. The man with leprosy, the woman who had been bleeding for 20 years, the paralytic man dropped through the roof, and so many more. There are so many aspects to Jesus. He's not just a one-dimensional character. There are so many aspects to him, to who he was when he walked amongst us, to who he is as he walks with us to this day. And throughout life's journey, and I recognize mine is young yet, I have been thinking about different aspects of Jesus' character, his personhood, and his divinity. I've been thinking about the ways in which my relationship to Jesus have shifted and evolved and changed over the years. The ways in which this relationship has had its moments of strain, but also of deep satisfaction and joy, and everything in between. I love the way in which Jesus embodies God and leads us toward the divine. And yet in different seasons, I found myself meditating on or experiencing that relationship with the same person in so many different ways, which I suppose is like any human relationship that we have too. At times, Jesus has felt inaccessible, and at other times as close as a friend, the kind of friend you have in your family bubble and who still comes over for dinner, who knows everything about you, who has cried with you in the midst of deepest hurt and celebrated with you when something amazing has happened. Maybe you sit out with Jesus under the stars, drinking tea until late, telling stories, letting your mind wander, overwhelmed by the beauty and the mystery of it all. In today's gospel, we meet Jesus in the midst of a great crowd, and I am sure that each of those people had something to bring, some deep desire or need that they felt needed to be met or could be met in Jesus. And there they are in a giant field. There are many, the gospel tells us, from Judea and Tyre and Sidon, from the whole world, people from everywhere have come to gather to encounter the one who does such amazing things and says such incredible things that they can't help but follow. But unlike other similar encounters in the Gospels, there's no mountain here. There's no hierarchy. In today's Gospel, Jesus is on the same level as everyone else, perhaps making it harder to see for those in the back, causing people to jostle and push to get closer, to hear and to experience the healing that he brings. Jesus tends to each one who comes close to him, cares for each of us seeking to be healed of unclean spirits or physical illness or whatever it is that we bring, seeking to be restored to the community from which they have been pushed aside. And in the midst of this healing, perhaps with people still jostling to touch the hem of his garment, he looks up at the crowds, knowing some of their stories, knowing some of their challenges, and he says, "Blessed are you who are poor." And in those days, whether it be under Roman occupation or even in their own communities, this statement would seem so counterintuitive, so backwards, so upside down, as backwards and upside down as it would seem today. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. We don't get a lot of leeway in Luke's gospel, like we do with Matthew, to spiritualize this, to talk about spiritual humility of those who are poor in spirit. In Luke, we are challenged to see those who are materially poor as worthy of honor and respect, as those to be lifted up as the inheritors of God's great riches, not at some future date, but in the here and now. Jesus goes on to talk about those who are hungry, those who weep, those who experience hatred and exclusion and defamation on account of the Jesus way. I sometimes find this passage tricky. Perhaps you do too. At times I've heard this passage translated as "happy are they who are poor" or something similar to that. And yet what Jesus is doing here and throughout Luke's gospel is bearing witness to a way of living that reverses the inherited order of things. The Jesus gospel, the kingdom of heaven, if you'd like, takes people pushed to the margin and declares that in God's kingdom, these are the people we should honor. These are the people we should emulate. These are the people who carry deep wisdom about the way of the world. Listen to them. Not the powerful CEOs or media personalities, not the country music superstars or politicians, not the people gathering the headlines, but those who never make them, the ones who are suffering and who will never make the news. God's kingdom is not built on strength and might. It's not built on violence and anger, and yet it is built on struggle. like the struggle of those who are poor, the struggle that they have to have enough. And so I've been thinking about that a lot lately, especially in light of the protests dominating the news cycle, in light of the frustration some people feel as a result of the virus and its impacts on our lives. And I feel some of that frustration too. I want to live in a time where I can see my sick nephews and hug them without fear of making them more sick. I want time with friends and family. I want to see my parents, who I haven't seen in 3 years. I've been thinking about Jesus' gospel in light of the protests that some call peaceful, but that I know through my wife's colleagues living in downtown Ottawa has included physical violence and psychological intimidation, racism and violence in Ottawa. And this violence has come towards people who don't have the privilege of white skin, towards the people of differing sexualities and gender identities, those who in this society, along with the materially poor, often suffer, pushed to the margins. And I've been thinking about those who remain unheard, especially those who are disabled, who are immunocompromised, who are literally scared for their lives with the continued existence of the virus. I think about how Jesus' series of woes at the end of this gospel passage tell those in power to watch out, because something's going to change, not through violence, not through hate, but through love, the power of self-giving love that Jesus embodies in his very being throughout the gospel, throughout his life. And I think about Jesus, how Jesus, when he centers the poor, is calling us as a people, as a church, to turn towards those who suffer most and to elevate them to the center. Not the rich, not the middle-class voter that every politician seems to want to get, but the poor, the sick, the hurting, those who are scared, those who fear being left behind by a society hell-bent on returning to a normal that was not working for everyone. And as a society, we have some work to do. And in the midst of it all, I find myself thirsty. Thirsty for the living water that Jesus offers. I find myself thirsty for justice and a kingdom like the one Jesus talks about here. A kingdom where all have enough, where we all know that we are loved and we are, have the strength to tell others that they are loved too. And so I wonder today, what do you think it might look like if we took Jesus' words seriously, if we ordered our common life as a church around them, around those people who the world considers the last, the least, and the lost? How would our life as a community be transformed if we sought in all things to honor and bless those society continues to be poor or weak, those who we otherwise push to the margins? And what would our community look like? What would our community life look like? And perhaps more importantly, do you think we might find Jesus there? Amen. In this time, as you feel led, I invite you to share a thought or a wondering about where God might be calling us as a community. It's not a time for conversation or debate, but an opportunity to discern together what God might be saying to us, what God might be inviting us into in this moment.
I don't know where God's discerning us, but I want to say that I pray that good can overcome evil, and our country and all the countries in the world, well, I guess everywhere, there's too much evil. I'm hoping and praying that good can overcome evil.
Amen. Thank you.
I found myself getting so angry lately. And it's hard not to let that anger turn into hate for what's happening. Mm-hmm. And I think I needed to hear the readings and your sermon this morning, Andrew, because that's not the feeling that I want to have. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, just knowing and thirsting, et cetera, is certainly helpful, because I found it extremely challenging.
Yeah. Thank you.
And I find that listening to news and social media and so on is so depressing and like dawn, making me feel angry. But in the last week, I've also experienced personally wonderful help from friends and acquaintances. And so I try to dwell more on those. And try to believe that there's enough of that out there that it will overcome so much of the evil that we see.
Thank you, everyone. I'm so grateful for your reflections. And this time to wonder together, to listen together. I think that's an important discernment, and it is easy to feel alone in this. And so this chance to wonder out loud together about the world and how we might respond as people centered on Jesus, I think is a really important way forward for all of us, and certainly for our community. How do we embody this strange and upside down Jesus way, even with all that's happening around us? And that we probably can't start with, you know, eliminating an alt-right movement, but we can start to create some new and beautiful pathways in our own communities, in our own lives, and in our own relationships. We don't have to start with the world. From the gospel today, Jesus started with the people right in front of him, with those who came, who were hungry and who were thirsty. And we have that opportunity. I know we're all trying to do that in various ways as individuals, and we do that together in many ways too. And so let's continue to do that. Let's continue to deepen that work, even as we pray for God's help and guidance, as we seek to be rooted in Jesus' love for us and for all of creation. And that we may proclaim and embody that hope for our neighbors in our communities where we live, and for one another too, when we're in despair, that we can be those friends to lean on and to point to the way of love.